You're listening to a special edition series focusing on the power of improved internal communications. Understand the true cost of neglect. Learn simple concepts to more fully engage your team and see firsthand how these interactions can impact both productivity and the bottom line. This series is made possible by PDP Solutions, the leader in effective communication in the workplace. PDP, people-driven performance. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome to the inaugural episode of a new special edition series, Effective Communication in the Workplace. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Louise Dickmeyer, the president of PDP Solutions. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. I'm well. Thank you.
Outstanding. Well, I am so excited. It's great to be with you. Launching this most important series is very exciting, Lou. Like you, I have observed a lot of organizations, and quite frankly, sometimes my very own organization, where our workplace communications are anything but effective. And this is a big problem. And we're going to talk about the symptoms of poor communications in just a minute, but this is a big problem, right? And why this series is so important, so critical.
Yeah, Todd, this is really exciting to be having this series because there are so many factors in our marketplace now that are sort of converging in what I call a perfect storm. We have employee engagement at an all-time low. The economy's heating up. There's greater pressure to retain skilled workers, and that war on talent is really getting more and more fierce all the time. Average age of manufactured skilled workers is 56. And we are on that brink of the largest shift in human capital in history. 10,000 baby boomers are retiring each day, which is fantastic. We've got a new generation with millennials coming in. Their tenure is going to be much, much shorter. So an employer's ability to really engage and communicate effectively is just becoming an absolute imperative. So it's great that we're going to share a little bit more on insights on communication in this series.
There's a lot of pressure there that just makes effective organizational communication so, so important. So let's do this. So a CEO of an organization or a manufacturer is listening to this show and they're saying, well, wait a minute. I think I have installed good communications and effective communication in my organization, but I don't know. Maybe I haven't. They're uncertain. What are the symptoms when an organization does not have effective communications? What are they seeing? What's the problems?
Many, many organizations aren't really able to measure their communications. So even though that CEO is trying to communicate their strategy out to the organization, they really have no way of knowing whether that message got through. They may have some supervisors or managers who are really great with taking that message forward and communicating out across all the way through the shop floor, but it's really very much up in the air. And so at the end of the day, the real guiding measures are obviously your performance outcomes. So if you're not seeing that you're hitting those numbers as you desired, that's really being impacted by poor communications. And another symptom, obviously, is just a rampant rumor mill. And we talked to so many, hundreds and hundreds of CEOs who are just struggling with how to really control that rumor mill and get good, solid information out there. So performance outcomes, your measures not hitting the mark, and just a lot of confusion and rumor mongering are some of those symptoms.
Gosh, I hadn't thought about the rumor mill situation, Lou. How many organizations do you talk to where that's a serious problem? And I would default in thinking, all right, well, that's just human nature. That's just who we are. But what you're telling me, though, is there's a strategy, there's an opportunity to get ahead of that and prevent that kind of thing from happening. I mean, talk about how impactful and how profound that change alone would have on an organization.
Well, our company is really privileged to work with companies that get this. So they understand that, look, we can't just leave communications to be willy-nilly. They have to be really disciplined about approaching their communications. They address their strategy on a weekly basis. They involve employees across the organization, including pulling people from the shop floor to be talking about, what are we hearing out there? What do we need to be communicating about actually this week or this day? And really be very active and proactive in how they share information. And they share lots of information, everything from, you know, just things that are happening more on a human interest side all the way through strategic initiatives and where did we win and where are we still struggling. So getting their hands around that, really being disciplined about it is a way better approach than what has been done in the past.
Yeah, that's exciting to understand that there's a way to get ahead of that. Something else you said a minute ago that kind of got my brain spinning is this idea that you can, in fact, quote, measure communications. And that's something that I imagine a lot of managers, a lot of executives have never really thought about, but there is a way to do that. And that's something we're going to talk about in this series. And remind me why that's so important.
Well, again, it's your way of really knowing whether your message got out there. And there's a saying somewhere, I don't remember who said it, but you haven't really communicated unless you know that your message got through. And of course, hey, we live in a world where there's so much information being shared. We're down to tweet mentality with 140 characters. I mean, people are used to just getting little snippets of information parsed out and they're just being bombarded with information. So when you're the CEO trying to engage employees around a strategy, you're trying to communicate through a whole lot of clutter and a whole lot of other pieces of information that are out there flowing in the workplace, in the world, in people's personal lives and such. It's quite a challenge. So you cannot make assumptions that your message is getting through.
Well, I read an article recently about the roles of a CEO, and it talked about the standard things, setting the mission and the vision, but it said, and to communicate said vision and mission, not once, not twice, but again, and again, and again, and again, and again, because I think people think they say it once and it's done. That is absolutely not the case. Well, Lou, you touched on some of these economic realities a few minutes ago. What I think it's important to do is to go a little deeper on that, because these are really significant. And I want to be sure people understand how these economic realities are really causing a lot of these internal communication problems. So let's get into them a little bit. What are some of the key economic realities that are forcing our hand here?
Well, when you look at manufacturing industry, and I know that that's a really broad term, but when you look at manufacturing in general, you've got a tremendous amount of people who are in that baby boomer generation. As I mentioned earlier, the average age of skilled manufacturing workers is 56 years old. So you've got a lot of people who are going to be leaving the workforce, taking with them their skills, their expertise. And in fact, the baby boomers hold more leadership positions than any other generation, with the exception of the tech sector. And so you're going to lose a lot of leadership as well. And unfortunately, younger folks have not necessarily been groomed or raised, or in their minds, they're not thinking of manufacturing as a viable option. So you've really got a gap there. And I know that there's a lot of efforts out there around the STEM initiatives and such to get younger folks engaged in manufacturing and really to fill those roles, to fill those positions as they come open. Recent statistic, there's at least 1 million openings now in the manufacturing sector that remain unfilled. So huge challenge there. 1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, the challenge.
This war on talent, having effective workplace communications, is it a matter of, all right, doing that, installing that philosophy in the organization that keeps talent happy and not wanting to leave? Or is it more of this is a good recruiting tool to bring in talent? Or is it both?
Well, it's actually both. You have to be able to prove to younger workers that you are an open, credible, trustworthy organization. And really, there's no better way than having that open communication, open door policies, and things like that. Statistically, millennials their tenure will be on average 3 years. That is absolutely the reality. So you have to get your head around, if you're a manufacturing CEO, you got to think about, okay, if that's the average, how can I manage to retain my employees for a year or two beyond that? And by communicating effectively, you really are bringing them into the fold differently than just leaving people out in the cold. So, and again, engaging them around that communication practice, what information needs to be shared and such, is really a powerful way to retain those workers and help them to be a part of driving your strategy forward.
And these millennials, they're kind of used to this kind of digital communication, right? They've grown up with it, and so they expect it and probably demand it.
Millennials know no other reality than having technology present. In fact, I've heard this, there was a survey, and millennials actually place access to technology on the same priority level as freedom and oxygen.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
And I also, so from the standpoint of retaining millennials, I saw another survey recently that noted that 60% of Generation Y admits that on the first day of their new job, they're already thinking about looking for another job. So again, the millennials really grew up witnessing their parents possibly losing jobs in companies as we went into that deep recession. And they're parents had held their positions for decades, and then they wound up having to leave these businesses. So the millennials, the younger generations, really don't have that same sense that that's the way you would go into that workplace market, is to remain there forever. They truly are going to shift into 6 or 7 or 8 different careers in their lifetime.
Yeah, boy, it is a different world. There was a generation that said, I'm going to join Acme and I'm never going to leave it, because that's just how it's supposed to be. How big a problem is that, Lou? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of manufacturing facilities and executives, companies that have been around a long, long time, maybe granddaddy started it after the war, who knows, that are burying their head in the sands and trying to ignore all these very, very real economic realities. Is that a big problem?
I think that it is. I think that there's greater reality growing now that the economy is heating up in the U.S., that CEOs just can't really ignore this any longer. We talk a lot with companies about the fact that, you know, in the past, manufacturers have always solved all their problems by virtue of putting in place a new process. Well, look, people are the ones that are driving their performance, and this quote unquote softer side of their business really can't go ignored any longer. So they're starting, the reality is starting to hit, and the more proactive or progressive CEOs jump on that bandwagon a little sooner than others.
Well, you've talked about the fact that there's this large shift in human capital. Is that done? Is that ongoing? Do you suspect that there will always be a shift in human capital, and that is a new reality that we have to just plan for?
Well, there's 10,000 baby boomers retiring every single day in the U.S., and they postponed that retirement when the recession hit, of course, because there was such uncertainty. But now that, again, that the economy is coming around, baby boomers are retiring in droves. So that's the reality. So we kind of held it off for a little while. But once they're gone, you're left with the Gen X and millennials and Gen Z now coming into the workforce as well. So reality is beginning to hit big time.
All right. Well, Lou and I will return after this quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you a manufacturer plagued by high turnover, burdened with low employee engagement, stung by safety concerns, and generally losing the human talent war in a very competitive market? Say hello to PDP Solutions. PDP offers software solutions that changes the game in workplace communications. As PDP President Lou Dickmeyer says, companies seldom fully understand the deep connection between improved communications and moving the key performance indicators. She adds, it's exciting to watch when our customers move the needle. Check out PDP Solutions at pdpsolutions.com. That's pdpsolutions.com, and learn how they can help you.
All right, Tochnik, back with Lou Dick. Lou, let's talk about the pain points. Let's get down to it. There are some real severe pain points. Let's kick it off with turnover. Obviously, if you have ineffective workplace communications, you're probably seeing high rates of turnover, yes?
Oh, absolutely. On average, 85% of American workers are either looking for a job or are totally open to a new opportunity. So
that's mind-blowing.
It is. You've got only 15% that are willing to declare that they are completely satisfied in their role and they would not be looking.
Wow.
Huge turnover.
I got to talk to some of my crew.
And so many of the companies, a huge majority of companies say that that is their top challenge in the upcoming year. And yet they just don't have a lot of the recruitment and retention practices within the HR field, just really haven't shifted in the last 3 to 5 years in order to be able to address that big turnover that's coming.
Well, let's think of all the costs with the high rate of turnover. One is the recruitment cost of trying to find people to replace those that have left. But then there's the costs of onboarding these people and training these people and all the material that goes involved in them. And that's really impactful as well.
It is. You know, to just replace a skill or an unskilled worker is somewhere around 100% of their salary. And if they're a highly skilled employee, it's estimated to be at least 200% of the salary just to replace them. And then you're right, you've got that loss of knowledge of skill, you've got the time that it takes to interview, you've got less work being directed, so your productivity is going to drop a little bit, you lose a little rapport with the employees that are left having to pick up the pieces and such. So it is a huge cost, and unfortunately, you really have to be very deliberate in studying what the cost of that turnover is and then come to terms with it and try to slow it. And again, that employee communication, when you've got those people there, the way to engage them is through effective communication. So this is why this discipline and this practice is so very, very important.
Boy, it's more critical than I even thought. So that's pretty interesting. Another pain point is this idea that employee engagement is at an all-time low. But do me a favor, kicking off that discussion, be sure that you're clear in defining what you mean by employee engagement, what that really looks like.
Engagement is a term that is rather vague in some circles. It's hard to understand, but engagement really has to do with an employee's willingness to direct their discretionary effort towards the good of the company so that they're really committed to the company. You've got a lot of people, there's 70% of American workers are not engaged in their work. So the bulk of them are showing up, they're punching the clock, they're sitting collecting a paycheck. They're not going above and beyond. And there's a chunk of people who are actively disengaged, running around, poisoning the well, spreading those rumors, dragging other people down. So engagement levels are historically low.
Well, sorry to interrupt you there, but that's a critical point. There are employees that are just disengaged because they don't care. And then there's an employee who's in fact engaged, but in a negative way.
Oh, absolutely. They're actively trying to bring the rest of the people down. They're the ones that are not joining in on projects. They're criticizing everything. And that's, we talked earlier about that rumor mill, and that's a behavior of an actively disengaged employee to be spreading those rumors. Safety costs related to employees that are not engaged is much, much higher than for employees that are engaged. And from the safety perspective, in terms of those pain points and those costs, for the employees that are not engaged or actively disengaged, the number of incidents is much higher and the cost of each incident is much higher. So again, true fallout, true hit to that bottom line by having employees that are not engaged.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you about safety in our next discussion here, but you're right. And I hadn't thought of it that way, but a disengaged employee, that does have real ramifications on safety concerns. So that's worth thinking about a little deeper in mind, let me tell you that. So let's shift now to safety concerns. Talk about how effective communications has an impact there.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I can share anecdotally examples from some of our clients where when they have communicated to their organization, as I mentioned earlier, some of that communication just has to do with sharing some human interest stories. And we've got CEOs that tell us that, look, when I can share that Ben just got married or just had, he and his wife just had a new baby, you begin to look at that fellow employee of yours differently. You begin to look at them as an individual. And on a shop floor, you start to look out for people differently. That's a part of being engaged and being around engaged employees. You really create that dynamic where there's folks who are really mutually engaged with each other and looking out for their safety and well-being.
I hadn't thought of it that way, Lou. You're right. I was thinking about effective communications educates me on things to do to be safer in my workplace environment on that shop floor. But you're right. There's if you see your colleagues as human beings and friends and people that you have a relationship with, then you do treat them differently and you are more worried about them and take better care of them. I hadn't really thought of it to that extent.
Well, there is that spectrum. So you've sort of got that on the one end. And on the other end, obviously, organizations are communicating about their safety incidents, sharing information around what those near misses were or what that incident, what was involved in that incident, so that they're trying to use that as a teachable moment where they can share what happened and hopefully people will pay attention enough and process that and make sure that it doesn't happen again. But there again, if you are trying to communicate out about that, and look, all the organizations that track, obviously, their safety incidents and recordable and non-reportable and all of that, they're tracking it. But how are they able to really communicate that out? And try as they might, they really don't know if that information is getting through, if they're able to communicate effectively and modify behaviors. So again, when you're using communication in a very disciplined and comprehensive manner, you really can begin to move that needle and see a more positive outcome.
And thinking about this, the first two we talked about, turnover and low engagement, that has a direct impact on safety, right? Because when you bring in new people, they aren't aware of the safety rules and processes and all that. And so there's just the higher cost of training people on the safety concerns is part of this as well. So it all kind of ties together. Very interesting.
You're right. And employees around their peers more than they're standing with their supervisor listening to any kinds of directives. So again, if you can really create that culture of safety, create that culture of engaged employees and engaged workplace, you're way better off.
No doubt. So Lou, so let's get down to brass tacks here. The whole point of this series is to, we've talked about the symptoms now. We've talked about these economic realities that are in our face that we have to deal with them. We've talked about the real pain points and touched on some of the real profound impacts these things have on an organization. Let's begin to talk about some of the keys to turning all this around and making our workplace communications effective. How do we begin to get a handle on this?
I talk to groups all over and try to sort of calm the frayed nerves around all of these impacts. And we talk a lot about the need for communication and the ROI on that. And I know we're going to talk about that in another session. But generational differences aside, really engaging employees across the board. Every employee wants to be engaged. And there's some central things that you can do as an employer to achieve that, to truly engage employees. If you just focus on that, put the age differences aside and put in place some fundamental practices, we'll be sharing more of that here in time. We like to talk about the fact that if you're the leader, if you can look to engage your shop floor first, that the rest of the organization will come along as well. So we've got some specifics that I look forward to sharing again in additional episodes. There is a solution to all of this, and we're really privileged to work with companies that are, they really have their head around it, they're committed to it, and they're practicing that every single day.
Well, it's one thing to be committed to the idea of effective workplace communications, right? That's an important first step, is for a team to say, all right, we are committed to making this better and making this work. But the point too, Lou, is that there are tools, there are processes that you can implement that help you facilitate this, yes?
There absolutely are. There's a lot of different ways that you can communicate with employees, and it is important that you are using a lot of different tools to do that. A lot of new tools on the market. We believe at PDP that we've got a great array of tools that gives CEOs the ability to communicate effectively, be inclusive, as well as measure that their messages are truly getting through. So yeah, a lot of different options, some better than others.
Yeah, there's that measurement thing again. All right. Well, Lou, boy, you've whetted my appetite. This is going to be a fascinating conversation through this series that we're about to launch. Any final thoughts before we wrap this episode?
You know, Todd, just want to reiterate again, this is the time to be talking about all of this. This is the time for CEOs to be reckoning with the fact that they have to begin to communicate more effectively with their employees and within their workplace. They have to do so in order to engage their employees. They need to be able to do that across generations. A lot of positive outcomes. It's a discipline that is going to need to be put in place in order to affect all of these workforce trends that are coming down the pike. So look forward to sharing some additional solutions here as we go forward.
Yeah, me as well. All right. Well, that wraps our introductory episode of this series. Episode 2 will return next week, where we will talk about the ROI of owning your culture. You heard Lou talk about that earlier, and how to facilitate more effective workplace communication. So on behalf of my colleague, Louise Dickmeyer, the president of PDP Solutions, I'm Todd Schnick. Our series, Effective Communication in the Workplace, will return next week, and we'll see you then.